Thank you to the choir for that very special music. Didn't realize we had that much talent here, that's good. And also, thank you for the offertory message, and thank you, everyone, for your contributions that go a long way to serve people throughout the world. Don't let the old man in. I want to leave this alone. Can't leave it up to him. He's knocking on my door. And I knew all my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that song. Singer-songwriter Toby Keith, who recently passed away from cancer, had a song that became a hit after his death. It was actually released in 2019. I'd never heard that song until he sang it on an award show last fall, shortly before he died. The meaning from that, the title of that song, is something I want to discuss with each of you today. You know, many of us have been baptized and have the Holy Spirit within us, but we still struggle with our human nature. It is very easy for us to let the old man back into our lives. So the purpose of this message is the same as that song title, Don't Let the Old Man In. But before we get to the actual message, I like to always cover the holy day from Scripture, the keeping of it. So turn to Leviticus 23, and let's start here in verse 4, where it says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed time." And of course, this is the appointed time. "On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover, and all those baptized members kept it this last Sunday evening. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." Interesting, it says that 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. I know for a while there was a period of time where people felt that they didn't have to eat any bread at all. But the command is for us to eat unleavened bread. And there's a very specific purpose for that. Verse 7, "On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary," which is occupational, "work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The 7th day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work." And then we read in Exodus 12 in verse 14. It says, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." And then, verse 15, "7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have removed," or it says removed, but "you shall have removed leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the 7th day, that person shall be cut off from Israel." So that was really important. He didn't mess up on that. God had a very specific reason. "On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation," which is exactly what we're doing today. "And on the 7th day, there shall be a holy convocation for you," which is next Monday. "No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you." And why Verse 17, so you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. And for 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Well, that brings us to a point. How many times has the old man forgot to take all the leavening out? Or how many times has the old man stopped by McDonald's or Krispy Kreme donuts and didn't realize the mistake that they had made? I could have said Dunkin' Donuts, but... How many times have we let the old man in? Not even intentionally, because we simply forgot. Verse 20, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. So what is that purpose for us to be eating unleavened bread this week? In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, in this passage, of course, it talks about leavening and the dangers of leavening in our life, and also for the need for us to put it out. So 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, it says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. Have we thought about that? We're truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So my hope is that all of us, through this 7-day period, will do additional study as to what that means, and also to help us look for any leavening in our life that we need to get rid of. Now let's move on over to Romans 6. Romans 6, you know, this is talking about that struggle that we have, that struggle with the old man. The old man that we buried at baptism. So Romans 6 and verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Something for us to consider and to constantly think about, that sacrifice that Christ made for you and me due to our sins. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. See, our pattern of life should be different than it was before we ever had knowledge of God's truth. We should be walking, trying to emulate Jesus Christ, his thoughts, his walk of life that we see evidence of in Scripture. Verse 5, for if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man was crucified with him. that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, now how did we die with Christ? We did it through that baptism, when we were baptized. We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Should be a very foundational scripture for each one of us. Let's see, lost my place here. Death has no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And we should be living our life to God also. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Don't let the old man back in. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Do we consider ourselves as righteousness to God? Can people see by our example the righteousness that we have? Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We're not under that penalty of law, that penalty of death for everyone that doesn't come to the true understanding of God. But what about that old man that keeps wanting to creep back in? We have to be able to recognize when that old man is knocking on the door. You see, that old man wants to continually resurrect himself. He wants to come back out of that watery grave, that place where he died with baptism. Let's turn over one chapter to Romans 7. We've covered this in the past few weeks, but it's so important this time of year that we truly understand that struggle with the old man. So let's turn to Romans 7. We're going to start in verse 13. Romans 7, verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You see, that's that old man. And that old man just keeps trying to resurrect himself. And we have to keep tamping him down and going, no, we're not going back there. Verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Can that describe our behavior? I think if we're honest with ourselves, that does describe our behavior so often. Verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law, with the law, that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You know, we don't want to sin. We shouldn't want to sin, but it slips up on us, right? And do what we don't want to do. And then we have to repent. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Continuing on, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. I think we can all agree. I mean, we're talking about the Apostle Paul writing these words. We think of one of the great prophets and leaders in the history of the world, and with his writings, we think of the Apostle Paul. But look at, he had the same struggles that you and I have. Verse 21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. We should do that. I think we all are happy that we're here today, that we have an understanding of God's holy days. And here we are. We're happy about that. And we're delighting in the law of God by keeping this day. But verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, this is that old man that wants to keep coming back. Verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, verse 25 gives us the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, that's why we need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to constantly be repenting of the sins that we may uncharacteristically fall into. It's through Jesus Christ's help and our trying to become more like him that we can keep from letting the old man in. Continuing on, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now I want us to turn to Colossians 3. Here we're talking about the old man in Colossians 3. He lists specifically some here, but there's a whole other list of things that we can think about. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 5, it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But that's the old man that keeps wanting to come up in our lives, wants to resurrect himself. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. We talk about that. We study about it. The end time events that are coming when God will correct the entire world before he establishes his kingdom. Verse 7, which you yourselves, talking about the old man here, once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Okay, these are symptoms. These are character traits of the old man that we're going to read here. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. We live in a society that is so filthy mouthed, especially the young. Hopefully, we don't struggle with that. But here it's listed. And then in verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another. Wow, the world is full of lies. Now you have to question when you listen to something on the radio or TV, is any of it true? And secondarily, did someone even write it, or is it all written by artificial intelligence? Which, now there's sites that are starting to be resurrected or erected, I should say, erected, to try to show what is, artificial intelligence and what is not. And people are using it in all aspects of business, media, even religion. You could go and type in a subject, and it would spit out a sermon for you if you wanted to. But of course, as more and more people are seeing, it's biased. There is a bias to artificial intelligence. That's why other websites are starting their own artificial intelligence so they can have their own bias. That's what we're dealing with. So don't let it be named among us that we lie about anything. And then in Galatians 6 and verse 4, something that we should have been doing already, but something we need to continually be doing throughout the year. But let each one examine his own work. We have to all keep an eye on ourselves. We have to do a report card on ourselves, so to speak. We must ask ourselves, have we let the old man back into our lives? And if we have, where have we? You see, that's examining our own work when we ask about that. And then this verse continues. And then we will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. So it doesn't matter, each one of us, our relationship is with the Father and Jesus Christ. It's not through any organization or anything, it is a direct line from you to the throne, me to the throne, if we're baptized. Well, it is for everybody else too, through Christ's sacrifice. But we have to consider that each one of us, we can't make it because of somebody else. We can only make it through our own hard work and Jesus Christ. Let's turn back to Romans 6. The whole book of Romans is really a good book for us to study this time of year because it's so prevalent or important, I should say. Romans 6, verse 15, he asks the same question that we saw earlier. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slave whom you obey? So we're either slave to the old man or we're slaves to Jesus Christ. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So there it is, we have it, the old man and the one trying to emulate Christ. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, how were we set free from that penalty of sin? It was through baptism. You became slaves of righteousness. We thought about the importance of that we're slaves to righteousness, that we should have a certain type of behavior because of it. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. That should be the ultimate goal for us every day of our life, that we're slaves of righteousness for holiness. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. When you look at your pre-conversion life, what was it like? What was it like? I think there's so many things we want to forget. And we can be thankful that God forgave us when we repented. And he forgot it, which is a wonderful thing. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what can we be doing to make sure that we're not letting the old man back in? Well, we see in James 4, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. It should be memory scripture for most of us. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So the farther away from God that we are, the more that old man will be knocking on the door. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Shows what we need to be doing by drawing near to God. Now I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 15. And we're going to look at that relationship a little bit here. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So we have to make sure that we keep that old man out. Which one of us would want God to forsake us? As we're covering, well, what should we be doing to keep that old man out? We find more of this in Colossians 3. So if you'll turn to Colossians 3. Remember, we were talking about walking in righteousness. And so in Colossians 3, in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seeking to be more like Jesus Christ. It's more into obeying what God would have us do. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, the old man died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So there's a big benefit for keeping that old man out. The benefit is being in the kingdom of God. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Okay, here's another list of things that from the old man that we're to avoid. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. See, in God's church, it doesn't matter where we came from, as long as we're baptized into the body of Christ. It doesn't matter our nationality. It doesn't matter the geographic area we're from. It's all because of that relationship with Jesus Christ. So what should that new man look like? If we're going to, we've described some of the things about the old man. What about the new man? Continuing on in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God. So now we're talking about people, God's people here. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. So as we examine ourselves, are we people of tender mercies? Kindness. Do we show kindness to others? Do we show kindness by not saying things? By stopping our lips from moving when we shouldn't? Humility. Not thinking of ourselves more than we should. Meekness. In other words, not thinking we have all the right answers all the time. And long-suffering. Long-suffering is such a trait that's becoming less and less long. If you don't believe it, go to any grocery store or go to the airport, and you'll find long-suffering is not very long. And the old man keeps trying to come in to get us to get involved in that. Bearing with one another. We're all flawed. We all have our weaknesses. How are we doing on bearing with one another? And forgiving one another. So important. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We need to be forgiving people. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Sometimes that's really hard to do, to show love. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, why is it that when we attend like services here or we go to the Feast of Tabernacles, why is it that things go well for the majority of people? Why? Because they're showing love to each other. They're guarding their tongue. They're doing exactly what we were told earlier here. They're being humble. So verse 15 again, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. I think that really we need to become more and more thankful for the opportunities we have as we have today, that we can meet in peace. You look at people in the world, and especially in Africa and places like that, where they cannot meet in peace. I'm not talking about people from our faith, but I'm talking about Christians in general, where people show up and kill as many people as they can while they're in the church building. It's just amazing how many quote, Christians who believe in Jesus Christ instead of the Muslim religion, how many of them suffered death? Families are destroyed because of that. So we have to be thankful for the fact that we can meet in peace here. We still can. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I think that sounds like our choir today, right? I think it was. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That being thankful is so important for us. For what? We've been given. The old man doesn't want to be thankful. The old man has all kinds of reasons why he's not thankful. But God wants you and me to be thankful. Let's turn now to Hebrews 10. And look at, starting here in verse 19. Because of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the one thing that we can be so very thankful for is because, verse 19 here we read, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I've talked about it in the past. Are we bold when we talk to God? When we have needs, or when we're praying for others, whether through illness or some other reason, do we boldly come before God and ask for his intervention? Verse 20, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. You know, once he died, the veil was rent in two, and now all those have access to the throne, the very throne itself. Not having to go through the high priest, but can go directly to God. Verse 21, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What is that evil conscience? Well, that evil conscience was the old man. And our bodies washed with pure water, the pure water of baptism. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is who has promised is faithful. It's going to be more and more important for us to follow that as time goes on. There's all kinds of things that could try to trip us up to bring back the old man, but we need to, with God's help, prevent that. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I think we can all see the day approaching. None of us know exactly when. But are we doing what it says here? Are we there for each other when they may be having the old man want to creep in, or they're suffering through some trial? Now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Actually, we'll start in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Have we thought about that? That we're a new creation. The old man is gone. The old man should stay gone. We're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See, Christ's sacrifice paved the way that we can all have access to the Father. I find that there's so many passages in the New Testament that we can look at that should help us along this, keeping the old man out, paving the way for us to be more like Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 50, this should be a passage quite familiar with us. Starting in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. See, that old man has to be gone for us to have incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I like that. That's a positive outcome. We shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. So that's putting that old man out daily. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Don't we long for that day? Especially those of us that have all kinds of pains. Verse 54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What a time that will be for all of us. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That ceremony that we celebrated two nights ago. That celebration that Jesus Christ paved the way for us. So, I want to finish this message by reading verse 58. The same message that we started with. Let's work this week to not let the old man back in. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord.